Ladies, you're not going to like today's podcast. Gentlemen, for some of you who have bought diamonds, you're going to be very upset. Those of you that haven't yet proposed and haven't bought diamonds, you're going to love this episode. Why? Because you know when you and I think about diamonds, we're like, oh my God, the rarity of diamonds. That's why they're worth so much. Did you know diamonds are the most common gems in the world? In the community, the most common gems in the world. Do you know there's roughly a quadrillion tons of diamonds in the ground? You know what that is? That's 1,000 trillion tons. But Rothschild financed the establishment of De Beers diamond mines in South Africa in 1887. And with the help of some incredible marketing strategies, they fooled you and I to think diamonds are forever. Today, we're gonna break the whole thing down. Okay, so if you get value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Let's get right into it. In 1902, De Beers controlled 90% of world's rough diamond production and distribution. De Beers and its central selling organization established exclusive contract with suppliers and buyers, making it impossible to deal with diamonds outside of De Beers. Can you imagine if you controlled 90% of any industry? Isn't there a word for that? Isn't it called monopoly? That's exactly what they had. 90% of it they controlled. This is when they began one of the greatest marketing and advertising strategies in the history of business, and everything changed on how you and I viewed diamonds. So here's what they did. The first thing they did is they went to Hollywood, and with proper encouragement, the movie industry displayed its most glamorous actresses draped in diamonds. Diamonds became a top symbol for the rich and famous until 1930, in the 30s, when the demand for diamond rings declined in the US during hard economic times, De Beers company began a marketing campaign using photographs of glamorous movie stars covered in diamonds. Within 3 years, the sales of diamonds had increased by 50%. Here's a couple of things they did, which I think is brilliant. Number one, they convinced everybody that the average engagement ring that you buy for your wife should be 3 times your monthly salary. What do you mean? You make $5,000 a month today, the ring should be $15,000. If you make $10,000 a month, you need to buy a $30,000 ring for your wife. Can you imagine the amount of pressure they put on everybody? And on top of that, you know what they started saying in 1947? Diamonds are forever. You ever heard that before? That was born in 1947. And on top of that, enhanced with Marilyn Monroe's performance of the song, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, in the 1953 film, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And gentlemen, you know what else they did? They convinced and pressured you to start buying something every year during your anniversary. You should buy your wife, if you love her, why don't you buy a band with diamonds on there? And this pressure was like, babe, Johnny bought a bracelet with diamonds on it for Mary, will you buy me one? And then you're sitting there saying, how many times my salary is this? Props to De Beers for putting that kind of pressure on millions of men to have to buy something they can't afford to buy. Now, let's talk about the monopoly aspect of De Beers and what they did. As diamonds were discovered in other parts of Africa and South America, De Beers gained control of the rough diamond supply. Allegedly, the tactics used to gain control included murder and kidnapping. Structure of the business remained the same for much of the 20th century. And now keep in mind, De Beers knows that diamonds are not very rare. They're actually very common, and there's a quadrillion tons of diamonds in the ground, but they would release it in a limited amount of supply to show rarity of it. That's how it was rare. It wasn't really rare. The company made the way they released diamonds to be rare, which increased the value. They maintained a large warehouse of uncut diamonds in London. As a result, they weren't allowed to do business in the United States and a few other countries. So this can't be real, right? I mean, Pat, we've been told diamonds are rare, right? I mean, there should be a lot less limited supply of diamonds than gold. No? I mean, yes, I guess. What do you think? Let me just show you some numbers here. When you look at numbers on what the cost per gem is, according to Yahoo Finance, here's what you would find. Platinum is ranked number 18 at $33 per gram. Number 17 is palladium at $46.52. Then you have gold at only $62.26 per gram. By the way, there's only enough gold to fit 3.5 size of Olympic swimming pool. Can you visually go there? Only that much. Yet we got quadrillion tons of diamonds, and diamonds are more expensive than gold? That can't be, right? Let's continue. Number 15, iridium is $162. 14, rhodium, $228. Number 13, plutonium costs roughly $4,000 to $11,000 per gram. Number 12, taphite, that's $12,500 per gram. Number 11, benitoite $8,000 to $21,000 per gram. Number 10, Tritium, $30,000 per gram. Number 9, Red Barrel, $50,000 per gram. Number 8, Grandidiorite is $100,000 per gram. Number 7, Ready Diamond, $25,000 up to $150,000 per gram, putting it at number 7, even though there's more diamond than gold. But these De Beers, gotta give it to them, props for convincing us that diamonds are rare. Number 6, Pionite, $300,000 per gram. Number 5, Red Diamonds, $5 million per gram. Number 4, Serendibite, $100,000 per gram. Number 3, Californium 252, $27 million per gram. Number 2, this is so rare that I don't even know how to pronounce this name, so let's butcher it together. Ready? Look at the words on the screen. Endohedral Fullerenes, $167 million per gram. Okay, that's how rare it is. And last but not least, antimatter, $62.5 trillion. Is this serious? $62.5 trillion of gram is considered to be the most expensive substance on Earth because it requires an incredible amount of energy to generate. According to CERN, it requires several hundred million pounds just to create 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram of antimatter. It also happens to be extremely dangerous as it annihilates any matter that it may come into contact with in a huge explosion, the size of which is determined by Einstein, famous for E equals MC squared equation. We learned something together. Ladies, if you can convince your man to buy you an antimatter ring, you better keep that guy. I mean, that's $62.5 trillion. Even Elon Musk can't afford to buy that. But lab-grown diamonds. Fellas, let's sell the ladies on getting some lab-grown diamonds. Let's go through it together, ladies. Hang tight. The primary difference lies in their origin. Lab-created diamonds are grown in controlled environments, while natural diamonds from naturally in the Earth's mantle. They are chemically, physically, and optically identical to natural diamonds with the same hardness, brilliance, and fire. Synthetic diamonds cost 30 to 40% less than natural diamonds, and growing consumer interest in ethical diamond sourcing makes these stones an appealing option to mine diamonds. Global sales for lab-grown diamonds increased to $12 billion in 2022, up 38% year-over-year, per an analysis by New York-based Paul Zeminski, diamond industry analyst. So now, diamonds may be forever, but the market for diamonds surely isn't. That is the news in the latest Global Diamond Report from 2019 from Bain & Company in association with the Antwerp World Diamond Center. Throughout the mined diamond supply chain, sales are falling, with rough diamond sales expected to decline by 25% and polished diamond sales to fall off by 10% by the end of the year. And this next data I'm going to give you is from September of 2023, so it's just a few months ago. So watch this here. De Beers has cut prices in the category by more than 40% in the past year, including one cut of more than 15% in July. In June of 2022, De Beers was charging about $1,400 a carat for the select makeable diamonds, but by July of 2023, that had dropped from $1,400 to $850 a carat. Fellas, this chart you're gonna like. Watch this here. This is looking at the price of a generic 1-carat round VS Clarity near colorless and VG Ideal cut diamond. You have the dark blue on the bottom being lab and the light blue being at the top with natural. Do you notice a trend? Both of them are going down. Lab is obviously going down dramatically, but look what's happened from 2016 to now. And according to Bloomberg data, watch this here, the Diamond Standard Index price recently hit lows they have not seen since 2004. That's 20 years ago. Look at that. The high was roughly in 2008, 2009, 2010, but look at the lows today. Obviously, this isn't good for De Beers. This is why their diamond sales is down 37% year over year. And on top of that, one of the greatest signs here is the traction being made by lab-grown diamonds in their share of diamond export from India, where about 90% of global supply is cut and polished. Lab-grown accounted for 9% of the diamond exports from the country in June, compared to only 1% 5 years ago. That's a growth of 900%. In 5 years. So if you just want to look at a chart to kind of compare the prices, this will be an easier one for you to do. If you look at this right here, it tells you at the top, furthest one to the left is the natural diamond. Then you have the middle one is a lab-grown diamond. Then the furthest one to the right is lab-created moissanite, right, which is becoming very popular lately. And then all the way to the left is number of carats. So let's look at 1 carat. If you wanted to get a carat of a natural diamond, a VVS2 clarity cut or VVS1, you're looking at $8,900. But if you do a lab-grown diamond, it's only $3,000. But look at the moissanite, $595. Big difference. So for some of you that are watching this, you're sitting there saying, oh my God, the pressure's packed. You want me to spend 3 months of my salary to buy a ring for a girl? That's absolutely insane. I agree with you. Well, my wife and I got married. This is what I said. She got me a $400 ring. I don't care. $400 is cool. This isn't the one because I've lost God knows how many rings. But she got me a $400 ring, and I got her a $3,300 ring. You know what she wears still today? Still a $3,300 ring. I said, if we're together for 10 years, I'll get you a $30,000 ring. We were together for 10 years. We went to the store. She said, babe, honestly, I don't want a $30,000 ring. Can we go to Monaco for a week and enjoy the memories? We went to Monaco. I said, why put so much money into a ring? We can invest into a business. We can invest into something else. So if you're watching this and you're about to get married and maybe you don't make a lot of money, if you come from a rich family, your family wants to pay for the money, it is what it is. Don't fall for the trap of buying a big ring for no reason. Sit down and have the conversation with your spouse and explain what we're really solving for. Is it really about a ring so you can brag in front of your friends and all this other stuff because De Beers has done a great job marketing to you? They need a big ring. Or do you actually want to build your relationship on substance, on investments, because life's going to be very expensive. Raising a kid is very expensive. Cost of living is very expensive. Do you really want to spend that kind of money on a ring today? Maybe, maybe not. My suggestion would be to take that money and invest it into something else. Business, real estate, stocks, other places, not a diamond ring. If you got value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. And if you enjoyed this video, maybe you'll enjoy the video, Men in Dating, Certain Crazy Stats That You've Never Seen Before. Click here to watch that video. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.